and I'm doing this class for his healing as a prayer for him. His name is Avraham Ben Esther, and my sister is actually with him in the hospital. And right now it's midnight. Not midnight, it's like at 3, 4 in the morning. But she's with him in the hospital, and she wants to see, and you know, because it's quiet for her right now, but she's sitting with him, and he's not doing so well. So hopefully he'll be better soon. His name is Avraham Ben Esther. The reason why I'm sitting here is obviously because of him, but not just because I exist, but also because spiritually he inspired me all along my journey and always pushed me to keep going. And I really do hope that this will inspire something to give him a real good healing very soon. Okay, so... A relative of ours, Moshe Ben Yedida, who is also very sick right now, and we hope for his health very soon. Okay, so I'm gonna read our regular weekly study, and I'm just gonna do one Mishnah. Today was actually a fast day, so I'm a little, I don't know how you call it, just dehydrated, oozy. Oh, okay, it's. Today is the fast day of the 10th of Tevet, one of the greatest proofs that the Jews are tied to the land of Israel and Jerusalem is the fact that we've always had a day, not only one day, but multiple days, that we commemorate different parts of the history of the Jews living in Israel, and when we eventually the temple was destroyed. And that's for over 2,000 years. So we're talking about a long, long time, and today was the day. I mean, now it's right, the new day according to Judaism, but was the 10th of Tevet, which is the day that Jerusalem was surrounded, and they sieged basically Jerusalem, and they broke into Jerusalem on this day. So, you know, if anyone wants to argue whether Jerusalem is the capital for the Jewish people. We've been thinking about Jerusalem every year, fasting for Jerusalem every year for over 2,000 years. And it's mentioned in our prayers, it's mentioned in our blessings after the meal. Uvnei Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh, if anyone knows the blessings after the meal. Like, we're obsessed with Israel and Jerusalem well before Islam came to exist. So, you know, that should be something that you should think about, is like, hey, we have a rich and deep history in that land. We should at least have a right. Some right to it, to a point where people say that we have zero, and we should be wiped off the map or not have a reason to exist there. It's absurd to me. It's absurd. By the fact that this country is based off a Christian belief, and the West is so much influenced by Christian belief, and Christian belief is based off Judaism, and so is Islam, which is mind blowing to me. And in the books of Christianity and of Islam, whether it's the Quran or the New Testament, there are so many signs of the Jewish history that came prior to their own history. So to me, it's mind-blowing. And then they make the claim that we, the Jews of today, are not the same Jews of yesterday. That's absurd, because we have history that's so strong, literature that's so strong, that goes back from year to year. Passover that we celebrated from year to year. It wasn't just now that we suddenly came up with Passover, but from year to year, you did it with your parents, and they did it with theirs, and so on and so forth, until when it started, when we came out of Egypt. It didn't just, if it came out of somewhere, where from? And we could talk about Shabbat, and the mourning of Tisha B'Av, where we mourn the destruction of the temple. That's been going on generation after generation. So we are the greatest proof of living history, because we have the literature that's with us. The texts that we study for day and eight, for all day. Even though there's people that work, they'll come back from work and they'll spend time studying some of our Talmud and texts. And what are they studying? Books, literature that was written from people in their generation, books that came before their generation. We have a lineup of rabbis and teachers and educators that were in each generation, multiple, not one, two, multiple. And their books are living and being studied. There's no more living history than the Jewish people. There's nothing that lives history like the Jewish people. We speak a language that's ancient, and we brought back that language to a land that for many, many years the Jews were kicked out, and we're now talking to our children in a language, in Hebrew, that we had. It's like a biblical language that we brought back. Obviously, we changed it a little bit. But how did that happen? And that happened because of our books and our study and the values that we've lived by. So that's what we're being a part of when we remember today, Yud Tevet, the walls of Jerusalem that was taken down. But it's not just that. We're being part of the chain of our living history. And that's something unique. Okay, so we are in the third Mishnah of the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avot. We study Pirkei Avot every week here. And I tell you a statement that's written by one of our rabbis and teachers. And this was written 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. And we're going to really dissect it. Like, what does that mean to me, you, and all of us here? I'm not trying to cover a lot of information, but really just a few words, and really make that the focus of the week, or something that we can think about. So we were teaching the teaching of Ben Azai, who was a young person that passed away. He was a big, big leader in the Jewish people. But we did have within our history many, many teachers, people that devoted their life to Torah, that lived, most of them lived for very long. Malbe Torah, Malbe Chaim, it says that when you study a lot of Torah, you give yourself a longevity of life. It's a belief that we have, and we see it. There are many, many rabbis that live for very long. But there are also certain times where very great Kabbalists and rabbis lived for very short. Like Rav Moshe Isserlist, who wrote many, many books, but yet lived for, died in his 30s. And the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim of Lutzato, who lived in the 17th century, died at 37. So there are many rabbis that also wrote tremendous amount, achieved things that we can't even imagine, but only lived till 37 years old. It's mind-blowing. So one of them was Ben Azai, who was a young man, but yet we as Jews value teachings, no matter who it comes from. If it's truth, we'll take it. So he said, and it's obviously based on the Torah, and he said a very powerful teaching, and I believe that this is so important. Take it with you, and let's really meditate on these words. So he said, "Al tehi baz lekol adam." We're going to really dissect it, but he said like this: don't be disgusted by everyone. Don't be despised by everyone. There are people that just don't get along with other people. He says, "Don't be despised by everyone," and he means everyone, from the best to the worst. "Va'al tehi maflig lekol davar," and he also said, Don't be maflig, don't be rejecting things. So the first is people, and the second are things that exist in this world. Don't reject things that exist in this world. For instance, a leaf. You know, you see a leaf, you say, what is it? Oh, what can it do already? Everything has a purpose. Don't reject things. Alti maflig lechol davar. Don't be distant, rejecting, separating yourself from things, objects. And then he says, why? He says, She'en lecha adam. There's no such thing as a person. She'en lo sha'a, that doesn't have their moment. Their moment where they go up, what we call ligdula. They come, they get their moment of greatness. Every single person will have their moment. Where you are doing something that's huge. You might think right now you're building yourself, but everyone's got their moment, that they will make it up there. That's what he says. Everyone's got their time, their moment. And when it comes to objects, they all have a purpose, a place. There's no such thing. If it exists, it has a reason. Just like when we see things that human beings make, like a shirt. It's not just made to hang on a wall. It's made to be worn. Shirts are made to be worn. Things have a reason. If it's made by a human, we for sure say it's made for a reason. All the more so, things that are made naturally by God, right, that you see just in the world, they have a purpose too. I've heard people tell me that human beings are the only thing that don't have a purpose. But that's obviously, yeah. What were you going to say?
I was thinking, what about disease?
Yes. Yes, diseases, pain. Do you know that disease gives life? It says that Yaakov... Sorry?
Like mutations, you
Yeah? I'll tell you another example. The fact that when someone starts getting sick, or the knowledge that you get sick, means that we don't live life and take it granted, take it for granted. It's a way of us having a wake-up call to live life to its fullest. So do you know what being diseased does? Those that are watching it, although that's one reason, those that are watching it are given life. Death gives life. Imagine I would never knew that death, imagine death didn't exist. And I said to you, hey, all right, I know you're going, you're moving to Israel, back to Israel, let's say. I'll see you soon. What does that even mean? It could be in 10 years, it can be in 1,000 years, it can be in 100 years. When I speak, if not for death, things wouldn't have as much importance. Death gives life. It makes life more meaningful, because if not for death, then what would we, why would we take advantage of life? I give the example of someone who goes on a trip, on a vacation. So he's on a vacation for 3 years. And he ends up being in one place, Orlando. He goes to Orlando for 3 years. How much can he do there already? So he goes, he says, okay, you know, 3 weeks from now, I'll go visit the Disney World, if I can afford it. And then another month from now, I'll go, I don't know what else there's there. And I'll go to a few different places, and you'll take your time. But someone who's there for a short amount of time will make the most out of every second he's there. So you, when you realize that life is limited, you make the most of it. Okay, so there's many answers to that question. Disease also makes us be ready for losing those that we love. Okay, if someone would just pass away naturally, then what would that do to those that love them? They weren't ready for it. So that's actually sometimes could be a blessing. I think, as far as I remember, it was Jacob that prayed for sickness. It's actually in this week's Torah portion. That prayed that sickness should happen so that people shouldn't just pass out and leave suddenly. It's too much. Although it still does happen. But, you know, when a disease happens, that's dementia. That could be a very good way of somebody who's suffering physically, who can't manage with the pain. The dementia allows him to forget the pain that he's going through. Maybe there's certain people that are so emotional, they can't handle a certain pain, so they, God gives them that to be able to get over that. Forgetfulness is a gift. Because otherwise, imagine we remembered every argument that we had. So there's many, many answers to, right? And they are all types of diseases, aging, that we go through. Okay, so he said, every single thing has a purpose, and every person has a purpose. We're going to go through some of these things, okay? So why do you think is it bad to be despised by people? Why is it bad to not get along with people, right? This person's not good looking enough, I'm not talking to them. That person's not social, not talking to them. Way too short, not worth it for me, right? Why is that not a good way of living? It's kind of obvious, but let's go through some of them. Yes?
Because it's judgment.
You're judging. You don't see behind the surface. You're being external. That's his hidden message. Don't live life where you're external, where you live and you see people only on the outside. It takes a level of maturity to see people for who they are, not just by the way they look. Yes? Anyone else? Good stuff. What was your name again? Mita, nice to meet you. Okay, so anyone else?
You're bringing negativity on yourself.
You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. It's a reflection of your own problems. If you can't get along with other people, you're avoiding good coming your way. Yes?
You prevent from you to know other people.
Right, you prevent yourself knowing people. You close doors on people. There's so many things. I wrote some things that are very powerful here. People that are not, let's say, smart, okay? Whether, maybe because they're little kids. Don't despise the fact that they are not yet smart. Oh, that's how kids feel, by the way. You know, they feel to a certain extent that whatever they say is not valued. And at a certain point, they get older and older, And they feel like no one listens to me anymore. I'm not valued. And they start doing things in order to feel a little more valued, like put themselves in danger or go against what their parents want. A lot of rejection that happens with kids is because they weren't valued as a young age. What they said didn't have value. So I want to say that sometimes those that are weaker in certain areas than you have also strengths in those areas. Like I gave this example in the past, Lefum Churpa Shibushta. There's a Talmud which says that the more smart you are, the more confused you get. The example I gave is the story that I was reading, my son Abraham, there's a book that there is, and there was this truck that was traveling, that was driving, he's trying to deliver his food for Shabbat, and he hits a bridge. And he said to himself, I can get through this bridge. And he gets stuck underneath and he can't get out. They try to bring engineers. They try to bring everyone to take down the bridge. They see ways that they can cut the bridge, let the car go through. They tried everything. And then there was this little kid who comes out his dad's car and he's like, Dad, look at all this traffic. We're all waiting for this bridge and we're bringing engineers. Why don't we just let the air out of the tires? Let the air out of the tires and then the truck will go straight through the bridge. Sometimes simplicity is beautiful too. Okay, so although you might think that those, only those that are smart as you are worth it, are worth giving value to, those that are below you also have secret weapons that you can gain from. I'm talking about for your benefit, besides for them, for your own benefit. They have certain things that you don't have. Okay, so the person isn't as tall and good looking as you, but you know what they have? They have the ability to see people for who they really are. They have clarity in seeing the real people because the real people talk to them. So they have a vision that you don't have. They say that, okay, so that's one thing, that those that you might despise have something that you don't. Okay, number two, and this is something else I said, they can help you. Let me give you an example. You go on a date, it doesn't work out. The person that you're dating is socially off. They are talking gibberish. That's what we say in English, right? There are things that they're saying that just don't relate. And you say to yourself, forget it. I'm done. So what do you do? Not only do you say you're done, you whip out your phone and they keep talking and you just completely ignore them. You will just like walk off and you'd be extremely rude. If you do that, you're hurting yourself. Why? Because the chances are that person knows someone else for you. The chances are that if you leave off a good impression, they will find you someone. They'll say, okay, it didn't make sense for us, but you know, I have someone for you. You can only gain if you leave off a good impression. And actually, if you're dating Jewish, which I hope everyone is, right? So you're dating someone that's within the same, we're all in Jewish geography, hello. We're all interconnected. So you mess up with one person, everyone's going to hear about it, right? So your reputation gets destroyed. So that's why it's important to alti baz lekol adam. Don't be despised by people because that can hurt you in the long run. Even if they don't have benefit for you anymore. They can't benefit you. They have no use in your eyes. It doesn't matter. But they can benefit you in the long run. Even if you think right now they can't, in the long run they can. And finally, oh, by the way, there is, I think it's Viktor Frankl. I don't remember. There was a book that I once read on the Holocaust. And he said that when the Holocaust actually happened, when we went into the ghettos, I suddenly realized the real people. That's when I suddenly realized there's some real people, the real people out there, not the ones that necessarily had all the money. And all the stuff that we used to look up to fell apart. And I saw through who's real and who's not. Who was clear and able to really be there for others. And some people were thinking only of themselves, hurting others. Obviously, we can't judge, but he was there in the situation. And he said he got a new vision of who the people he thought were his friends and who weren't. So That's why it's always important to know that those that you might think are insignificant are more significant than you think. They are actually very significant, and they are part of God's plan. That's the final thing that I wanted to say. So there is a Talmud like this, talking about good looks. So there's a rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, who was a genius. He was so smart that even though the Romans already were destroying the temple, hated the Jews, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, he had a special pass and would go to the heads of the Romans, the emperors, and sit with them and try to schmooze them. And he was very close specifically to the children of the emperor, if that's what they were called. So the daughter once came up to Rabbi Yeshua, this rabbi, and she says to him, "Your Torah is so beautiful. You're so filled with wisdom. But the vessel that the wisdom is in is disgusting." Meaning, rabbi, you got to shape up, right? You don't look good. So why do you have such a beautiful Torah and such an ugly thing? So he said, now, don't get me wrong. There's Talmuds of Rabbi Yochanan and many rabbis that shun a special light. They look like malachim, like angels. There's a rabbi in Israel till today that looks like an angel. His name is the book Living Legacy, Rabbi Grossman. He looks literally like an angel. I'm telling you, search him afterwards. He looks like he has thousands of students under his name, and they are orphans, and he has this massive orphanage, around 6,000 orphans under his name. And he literally looks, you see his beard and the way he looks like an angel. So there are many, many rabbis, don't worry, that their impression is actually shown on their face. You see the love and the kindness in their face. And it actually has you see it, a person of love and care. So there are many that you would feel that. But this specific rabbi didn't look so good. So she says to him, "Why are you so ugly?" So he says, "Go and learn from your father's home." It was the Roman emperor. And he says, "Where does he keep his wine?" So she says, "What do you mean? Barrels. In barrels." He says, "The king should put his wine in barrels. He should put it in gold and silver. That's where he should put his wine." And what happened? It became vinegar. You put in gold and silver, that doesn't let it breathe. And eventually all the wine, and we're talking about a lot of expensive wine, I'm sure, and it all turned into vinegar. So she goes back to him. She's like, "What did you tell me? What are you thinking?" And he said, "That's how it works. A lot of times, things that don't look so beautiful are able to keep a lot of wine. Things that are not necessarily as beautiful can achieve more." So she says to him, "Well, there are many rabbis that do look beautiful, and you don't. So why do you not look beautiful? That's not a good argument. There are many that look beautiful, and they are smart too, and they're filled with Torah." He says, "No, you're mistaken. If they looked like me, they would be even more filled with wisdom." They will be filled with even more wisdom. If they look like me, they'll be filled with more wisdom. Why? Because they would have the energy to not think about mundane things as much. They'll be focused more on the wisdom and pick up even more wisdom. And basically, the idea is, and this is the real message behind the Talmud, that although one person has one weakness, it's a strength on the other hand. There's a hidden strength. They say that when an animal goes, when a human or a person goes blind, let's say, their hearing ability is strengthened. When one part of their body is not functioning, other parts of the body tries to compensate and functions on a much stronger level. So that's how it is as a human also. When you have one thing that's lacking, don't think that that person's really lacking. There are many qualities that they have that are far greater. So that's the hidden message of that Talmud. One more message, another story. A man, this is actually a midrash in Kohelet Rabbah. Chapter 11, verse 1. This is a midrash, and it says like this. It was a story with Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua, another Talmud, a rabbi from the Talmud, a Tana. And the story was that a man is washed ashore. He gets his ship gets abandoned, and he gets washed ashore, and he ends up on the somewhere in Herzliya, there by the Jewish city, and there's a lot of Jews there, and rabbis and people, and he ends up at the port, and this person has no clothes and nothing, but he hates Jews. So he stands there and says, "Please help me. I am the son of Esav." He was a Roman. "I am the son of Esav, and Esav is your brother. So you have to help me." It's like basically saying, "Please help me, I'm the son of Hitler, and you have to help me because Hitler is Amalek, and he's the brother of the Jews. Esav was the brother of Isaac, so help me." Basically, the guy couldn't hold back from his hate. So he stood there screaming, "Help me," without clothes on. "I am the son of Esav," who is like the worst thing you could say. So what do everyone who walks past him, what do they say? "Not only are we not going to help you, we wish it on all of you. You should all be like this. I'm not helping you." I mean, it's literally like talking at that time, especially where you witnessed murder, constant death by the Romans. They would literally kill many rabbis, tortures. Trust me, in such a situation, you wouldn't bear to say yes. It's like literally like hearing, "I'm the son of Hitler, help me," at the time of 1945. Like excuse me? What? No! So no one helped him. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua did. And he gave him clothes, and he fed him, and he took him into his home, and he gave him even more, and let him go. And later on in time, many years later, he became the emperor of the Romans. And he made a decree on the Jews. And he said all men and women should be, this is another Haman story, just we don't know about it, but he said all men and women need to be killed. All Jewish men and women, they say they are kind and they are not. We need to wipe them all out. And the rabbis said, "What should we do?" They said, "Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua, let's send him and remind him of who this rabbi is." So they sent this rabbi with gifts of 4,000 zuz, which is a tremendous amount of money, of gold, 4,000 bars of gold, let's say. And they sent him with this gift to this emperor to really maybe change his mind and not kill the Jews. So he comes in, and as soon as he walks in, this Roman emperor now, who was once that poor person, remembers the face. And he goes cold. He falls on the floor, and he bows down to him, and he says, "What are you doing here?" As if nothing's wrong, you know, like there's no decree against the Jews, you know. "What are you even doing here? Why are you here? What's wrong?" And Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua says, "You remember me?" And then he says to him, "Of course, but you people are not kind. Look how long it took for everybody to help me, and I was waiting until you came." And then he said to him, "Yeah, but I came." And eventually the story is that he let them go, and he not only did he get rid of the decree, he let Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua keep the money for himself and gave him many gifts also for the people. So it ended up that because of that one moment where he didn't actually be baz lekol adam, that everything switched the other way and saved probably thousands of people, if not many, many of our ancestors.
Or he brought it to them in the first place.
Sorry?
If he didn't save him in the first place.
If he didn't save him, then what?
In the first place, maybe all this thing would not have
happened. Well, what would have happened to him? He would have just died?
Maybe.
Or maybe he would have survived.
Maybe revenge is good, we just kill him.
He still could have become emperor.
Right, he could have still become emperor. Maybe he would have survived.
That sounds like very unlikely, because he really needed help. Like, it was desperate.
Okay.
Someone else would have come.
That the Jewish belief is that if I didn't do it, if God wanted him to be an emperor, he would have become that way either way. He would have fished and found the fish and eventually sell it and made money. There's many ways that he could have succeeded, and he would have. Huh? Yep. Okay. So that's what we say. Don't be despised by people because you never know. I'm burning hot. Is it just me or everyone else? Okay. Maybe we can open the door or something. It's getting hot in here. Okay. So this is one of the songs I remember. Okay, so we say that every person has a moment. Every person has a time. What is time? What does it mean every person has a time? We call it in Hebrew mazal. Time is dependent on your mazal. Have you heard that saying before? Mazal means flow. Now, it's true that we are above what the stars and we're above what can dictate things for us. We as human beings can be above all that stuff. But there is a certain time for every person. And what does that mean? They say that mazal stands for, it's three words, makom, zman, and lashon. You heard that before? Makom, zman, and lashon. What does makom mean? A place. Sometimes if you're in the wrong place, and you move. I have a friend who was waiting for 16 years to have a child. And eventually he left where he was living, moved to another place, and they had a child. How great, waiting 16 years. And eventually, just by moving, Mishane makom, Mishane mazal. There are many times, and people ask us, me and Shira get this all the time. Rabbi, I don't like LA. There are no girls here. Meanwhile, I want to move to New York. Meanwhile, there's a ton of New York people saying the same thing. That's why they moved here. It's fascinating. But anyway, Rabbi, I don't like LA. I want to move to New York. And sometimes, if you've really put in your effort, I would say, and I think Shira would say the same thing, yes, give it a try. I think that if you're asking my advice, give it a try. Because Mishaneh Makom, Mishaneh Mazal. If you're in the same place, same bed, same situation, and nothing's moving, right? It's not like there's a miracle that would happen, but changing place changes your vibes. It gives you a new energy, a new way of thinking, and that sometimes can help. Does it make sense? Okay, Mishaneh Makom, Mishaneh Mazal. There is a time, we say Makom, Zman, and Lashon. Everyone has a time. They say that the bamboo stick, before it actually comes out of the ground, I don't know how, I see it grow very quickly, but whatever. Before it actually, when you plant it, for the first 5 years, it doesn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, shoots up. All of a sudden. That's how it is by everybody. We all have a Zman. That means that some kids in your, when you were in school, there were some people that were less developed. There were some people that were more developed. But I looking back now, I can look back at people and there's some that never achieved as much as others that were much smarter. They had the best grades, the best title. They were the most looked up upon. But they today are much further, much more advanced than many other people. So what's the secret? Zman. Everyone has their moment. Just because somebody right now isn't cool, isn't good looking, doesn't fit your thing, one day they could be. And by the way, there are times where people tell me I was dating and that guy, no way, we're not going to date. We know each other. We know each other from school. We've had a thing. It's not happening. But the truth is, we have Zman. It could be when I was 15 years old, I was an idiot. And when you hit 30 and things change, maybe the Zman has changed and really it would work. Right? Open-mindedness is very good to get clarity. You should be open-minded even with something that never worked in the past because people change and we have a different Zman, a different time. And maybe now is the time for it to happen. Okay? So Zman is also something that changes. And Lashon, the way of speaking. Some people tell me that every time I speak, people don't want to listen to me. I feel like I'm mumbling on my words. And every time I speak, people don't listen to me. I feel not worthy. Is the person worthy? Of course, they have tremendous wisdom in them. They could have tremendous ability. But every time they go on a date, they're not able to speak properly. So maybe if they mashane lashon, switch the way they speak. And I don't mean by changing who they are. If they have a certain way of speaking that doesn't work, fine. But maybe Meshane Lashon means change the way you approach your problem. Shift your mind in how you, for instance, speak about your problem first. Let's say you're dating and your problem is you have a speech difficulty. You get nervous and you don't speak properly. How about, before we actually talk, I just want to let you know, I get really nervous and that's one of my things. And I have a problem. I don't really speak well when I don't really relay my message. So if you can, for the beginning, just be aware of it because it might take me time to open up. Speak it out. Meshane lashon means not only change what you're saying, but change your approach to your situation. Change the way you speak about your situation. And maybe being a little more open about it will help. That's a way. So Meshane makom, zman and lashon can change your different point of life. So that's what he says. Al ti baz lekol adam. Don't be despised by everybody, because everybody has their moment when they will flourish and they will succeed and they will be great. And you'll say, oh, I messed up. He's not going to talk to me now. And I need him now. I need her now. But they're not going to talk to me because when I was a kid in school, right? I just said that's the wrong way of thinking. But when I was a kid in school, I made a fool of myself and I was the idiot bully kid in my class, and now that girl that could be dating me doesn't want to even look at me. Why? Because I was baz lekol adam at that age. When I was 15, 16, okay, people make mistakes, we're looking at our future, but I was baz lekol adam. If I am despised, if I despise people, that will later on affect me when I need them, because people are eventually powerful and they have their moment. Finally, do not despair. This is the final point I wanted to make, which is, believe you are not a failure and your time will eventually come. Meaning, when you study these words of Ben Azai, who says, don't be despised by all people. Do you know what he's saying? Don't be despised by yourself. Don't think that in your life, you are incapable at work. Or let's say you say to yourself, I'm incapable of dating. I'm incapable. Have the belief that you will eventually have your moment. That eventually your moment will come. It might be when you're 25. Some people develop differently. Not every five-year-old at the same age develops the same. Some five-year-olds develop very quickly, but then they stop at a certain point. So at that point, they are the moment. But later on, you might be the moment. Meaning, this statement is important for us. To believe that I have one day the ability and I can come and achieve. So Ati Baz Lekol Adam can help you. When you believe in others, you believe in yourself. And you believe that you are not a failure. And your time will also come, even though you have maybe bad looks. Or you are short. Or you say, I have no money. Or you have, right, whatever it is that you feel that your problem is. Just today I was speaking to somebody who told me this, that he has this problem. And people don't believe him. As soon as he's on the phone, they don't even think, they don't even think he's a male. That's what he's suffering with. And he is. And he says, my voice is high pitched. I'm always so unconfident. Every time I go out, it's so difficult for me. Now, obviously I'm not a therapist and I'm not a psychologist, but I did help him as much as I can. I gave him hope. I was actually talking about what we're learning today. When you believe that in others there's ability for them to achieve, you will come one day. I believe that person will have his moment and all of his beauty will flourish like the bamboo stick. Okay, so the day will come when you have your moment, whatever it is. This belief will project good energy in you, yourself. And finally, every single thing has its purpose. And this is the story of David. I want to tell you a Medrash, a Talmud, Avraham. I want to tell you a medrash about David the king. Who we say about David the king, listen to this. He asked many questions to God in his prayers. And at one point, LeDavid b'shanato etamo lifnei Avimelech, he was before a king of the Philistines. They were called, all the kings of Philistines were called Avimelech. There were many kings, many generations of them. They don't exist anymore. And David killed Goliath, who was one of the people of the Philistines. Goliath was a giant, and he was killing Jews and many. And David, as a short man, came and was he had the Magen David, the shield of David, fought with Goliath, and he was able to kill him. Amazing, but he had to escape. He was in danger. And at one point, listen to this, amazing, but I'll tell you exactly this. I don't want to break it. I don't want to give you a spoiler alert right now, but I just want to tell you what happened with David. He lost his mind for a bit when he was captured by a king. He lost his mind, and they said to him, okay, just go. Don't stay here. You are crazy. And they said, get out of it. Don't stay here. What's the story? Listen to this. He goes to God and he says, God, you did everything beautifully. Everything so beautiful, so perfectly timed. One of the names for God is El Shaddai. God that made everything to its perfect perfection. That means that, I spoke about this in the past, gravity is perfect over here, that we can walk at a perfect pace. For instance, in Mars, if we were there, gravity is much less. So if you would just walk, you'd be 100 meters down the road, right? Oh, that might help because it's a bigger planet. But you wouldn't be able to move properly. And there's some planets that are so big, that the gravity is very strong. And therefore, they will pull you too strongly to the Earth. You wouldn't be able to move. The minute you land on it, you wouldn't be able to lift your foot up. The gravity is too strong. So Earth is perfectly fine-tuned to a point where you can just walk. It's amazing. Water. Shamayim, what's Shamayim? The sky, the heavens. Sky is called Shamayim. There's water up there. There's a lot of water in the atmosphere. But you know what type of water that isn't in the atmosphere? In liquid form. In a liquid form, that's the perfect environment to have. You can have it in gas, you can have it in ice. But to have it in a liquid form, that needs the perfect temperature and the perfect environment. And that happens on earth. So one of God's names is Shaddai, which means Sha'amar le'olamo dai. God said to the world, stop. Which basically means that God fine-tuned the world and made the world perfect to its exact pinpoint precision. And everything was created to precision. And if it was slightly off, nothing would be able to exist. That's the definition of El Shaddai, one of God's names. So why did I tell you that? Because David comes to God and he says, hey, everything you built perfectly. There's certain fruits that come out in the summer and they are made for us to survive the summer. They're like watermelon. You ever thought about it? Watermelon comes in the summer, although we get it now also, but it's made for us to survive the summer. And you made fruits in the winter that are made heavy carbs for us to survive in the winter. And there's fruits that are cold, that are made to be cold, and they are eaten in the summer. There's foods that need to be cooked, like zucchini and stuff like potato. They are made in the winter, and they're made to be hot. Isn't that fascinating? That's what David says to God. Everything you did, brilliant. But people that are crazy, why did you do that? Why did you make people that are not able to, are not 100%, that are with disability? Why did you make them? The crazy people that are not 100%. Why does that benefit you, God? When a person goes in the marketplace and starts tearing his clothes, nowadays it's a fashion, but back then, when a person goes in the marketplace, in the store, and tears his clothes, and children are running after him, and the people are laughing, that's good? Is that... are you laughing too? Is that beautiful for you, God? So God looks at David and says, on people that are impaired, that have disability, are you asking the creator, meaning me, the one that made it? You asking me about that? Nothing else? You're going to need it one day. David, you're going to need that one day. And the story is that Goliath, like I said, the story with Goliath, and he got captured. He got captured by the brother of Goliath, who was the king, and his name was Achish. He was the brother of Goliath, and he was the king of Pelishtim. His name was Avimelech. Every king was Avimelech. So what happened? They capture David. They're going to kill him. So David begs to God, and he says to God, please, God, save me. So God says, what do you want? So he says, give me that disability that you created. And that's exactly what God did. David lost his mind for a little bit. Asad smol kashoteh. God made him like somebody who's not able to function. And what happened? He would start writing on doors. David was writing all over doors. He was crazy. And the king, Achish, and he started saying to the king, you owe me money, 100,000 gold, whatever. And your wife, she owes me 50,000. Everyone owes me money. And he's writing it everywhere and he's going crazy. And his daughter, so what happened was, his daughter, the daughter of this king, happened to be also not 100% crazy. And his wife was crazy also. So they both lost their mind. And they were screaming back at him. So you've got this guy, David, that they captured screaming. And the wife and the daughter of this king is screaming back. And there's a whole scenery there outside, he's inside. And they're screaming at each other. And all of a sudden, Achish has enough. And he looks at his servants and he says to them, do you not know that I'm already lacking meshuganas in this place? Like, I have enough. I need another one. And at that moment, he got rid. B'varcho, lifnei, Avimelech, v'yigasheru, v'yilach. God said, the king said, Achish said, get rid of him. I don't want him here. And that couldn't have been the person that killed my brother. He's a crazy one. It couldn't have been him. And they got rid of him. And eventually David got himself together again. And that's when he said this verse. And he saw at that moment, everything has its moment. There's many stories like this also with David HaMelech. Also, he was chased by a king and he was in a cave. And one time he was looking at a spider web, a cobweb. And he says, what do you need that for? I get the spider has a certain thing. What's the cobweb for? I don't see the point in that. And then at some point he was hiding as a fugitive from Shaul HaMelech, who was trying to kill him. And he hid in a cave. A spider made a web. Shaul, the king, sees the web. He says, oh, there's no way that anybody came in here. Crazy webs. No one's been in here for years. And he left the cave and didn't find David. And David survived because of the cobweb. Everything has its moment. Although that's not the only reason. Right? It's not the only reason for why we have impaired and difficult situations. There are many reasons. But everything has its moment. And never think that it doesn't. Even these situations. So that was the message that David learned as well. So we see this again, that every person has a moment and everything has a purpose as well. And this is also one last thing. I said that already 3 times ago, but very important to know that we are talking about Baz Lekol Adam. These are people, don't be despised by people that you think are not beneficial to you. They have no purpose to you at all. But somebody who's benefited you, somebody who's been kind to you in the past, oh, that person for sure you have to respect and not be despising. Because let's say your boss, he gave you a job. You look at somebody like, it says, Bol sheshatita mimenu mayim, al tizrog bo even. If there's a pit, a well, that you drank water from, you benefited from someone once, don't throw a stone in it. That gave you something. Not for the pit. Not for the well and the stone, they don't feel, but for you, that water gave you something. So if it's somebody that's actually benefited you, let's say your boss, but you don't get along. If there was a moment where they gave you a career, there's a great rabbi who used to have a house like this, open house. Started Eish of Noach Weinberg. And there was always people that complained. Everyone's got their own thing. It's not their problem. He said, I get it. You have your problems. But one thing please don't do. On your way out, don't kick the door. Don't kick the door on the way out. I open my house to you. Just don't kick the door on the way out. Alti baz the kol adam is for sure, but all the more so someone who's good to you. That makes zero sense. You know where I've seen it the most? It says, by the way, someone who's kfiyut tova, that's what it means, someone who lacks gratitude, is where you, good has been done to you and you still despise, whether it's your parents or, it doesn't matter what problems they have caused. But if they've done good to you in the past, there is a tremendous need there, especially to have a certain sense of respect and hakarat hatov, gratitude. Even water. It says that when Moses was told, hit the Nile River, Moses says, I can't. He says to God, I can't. I can't turn the Nile River to blood. The Nile River saved me. Even if somebody drinks from the, this is a midrash, even if someone drinks from a well, you can't throw a stone in it. This water saved me. I'm not going to strike this water. He says back to God. And to that, God says, you're right. Aaron should do it. There's a tremendous lesson in people that have done good to us. I'll give you a perfect example. Kanye West. Okay, and finish off with that. He doesn't deserve any mention, but already people have been speaking about him enough. But just an example. What is your problem? That Jews own Hollywood, let's say. Jews who are the ones that are hiring you and giving you business. They're the ones that are the problem. But they gave you your business. They actually, instead of seeing them as a problem, they gave you money. They made you succeed. How can you say that Jews control Hollywood? But they gave, if you are in Hollywood and you're watching those movies, then they gave you those things. Even though they're probably a waste of time, actually. Right? But, and it's not even true. Last week we had David Sacks who came and said, Jews are not even that much involved in Hollywood today, as it used to be. It's an old thing. Today it's very different. Very competitive. And it's not the same as it used to be. But even if it's true, if someone's creating businesses, how can you hate that person? He's employing people. He's employing you. So although maybe you have a disagreement, that's one thing. But someone who's actually giving you opportunity, or specifically to you, that's not even what we're talking about. That's not what we were talking about. Anti Baz the Kol Adam is someone that seems insignificant to you. Someone who has been kind to you in the past. For sure, there should be a tremendous hakarat hatov, gratitude. It says that the greatest flood in Jewish history, the great flood and the damage that happened to the world, came because of kfiyut tova, because of the lack of gratitude. What do I need? This person serves me every day, delivering my stuff to my door, but please don't even come to my door, don't even come near me. Right? Everyone you see that's doing good for you, you start despising. It's a problem. We must for sure be grateful to those that drink, that give us water, that have given us something in the past. Anyway, I wish you all a great rest of your week. And some good stuff for the week. So thank you for listening and being part of it.